Hey, Peter Howard here from the Dynasty Crossroads Show. Did you know people that listen to the Dynasty Crossroads Show are 20% more likely to be happy? Probably, maybe. This and other maybe facts on the Dynasty Crossroads. Check it out.
Yeah. Chicken a crow, chicken a crow, crossing the... Yeah. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got 'em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russin
Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addict Spot. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I too have a trading problem.
I'm G-Man Jay, and I too have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. And man, I'm shook already. Welcome to session 171 of the Trade Addicts podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will. And we will. And thankfully, we are all chlamydia free here at the DAP network. No, I'm not going to explain to you guys why I just said that. Just know it's true. That's what's important.
That's the most important.
If you joined the Patreon, you would understand what that meant.
And trust me, you won't understand anyway, but you would have heard what we were talking about. I guess that's what the important thing is. What a way to start a show, everybody. All right, man. Okay, so I have not checked this fact out, though I read it on Twitter, so it has to be true. Mm-hmm. I read that from this weekend forward, there is no weekend without football until the Super Bowl.
I saw that as well, and I have not double checked, but that is amazing.
I want to believe it's true, so I'm going to believe it's true.
Well, like you said, everything on Twitter is true. So, everything on Twitter is true. You don't have to fact check.
Cool. Awesome. Love it. So yeah, that's where we are, folks. We are here. Camp has started. And football training camp has started. I know my kids are thrilled the camp has started, but that's not what we're talking about. Training camp has started. People are getting injured in training camp. This is great. No, that's not great. That's the bad part. We get to see all the people running laps in Giants camp because, I don't know, just Joe Judge apparently coaches high school football. Giants, G-Man.
The truth hurts sometimes.
So basically, JJ is a high school football coach, is what we're saying, Jay.
Yeah, that is pretty much what I said. Hopefully he coaches a little better, but he has the... Okay, but let's take a step back. Let's not get overexcited. Let's talk to Jay for a second. Why don't you first, knock it off, Jay. Stop it.
Sorry.
Take a breath. Start over. Why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at GMNJ. My name is Jay Felicio. I am a part of the team over at Front Yard Fantasy. They do a game show, if you haven't seen it, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern. I am the quote-unquote content manager. Basically, I prep the show. I get the guests. Rocky's been on a few times. Russ, we got to get you on the show with us.
I wasn't going to say it, but seriously.
Well, no, we definitely have to. I do a lot of the behind the scenes work over there, getting the thumbnails ready for YouTube, stuff like that. They've been established for a few years and they brought me on a few months ago, and those guys have become like family. Josh, JL, Simon, Tim, who's on Fridays, they're amazing. And I was very excited before I joined the team. I thought they were headed for big things, and for them to ask me to be a part of it really meant a lot. And so I'm excited about that. And
Hold on. How do you miss the opportunity where you're just like, before I signed on, they were on for big things, but now that I'm here,
I was just going to mention that they recently had a partnership with the FanDuel.
It has everything to do with Jay and nothing to do with them. They do a great job of making me feel well. You know, it's very easy because they're the ones that are on the show every day. They're the ones that are talking to the guests for the most part. they do a great job of making me feel very appreciated. And they said they wouldn't be here with the partnership with FanDuel every Friday at 6 p.m. doing a show on FanDuel's social on Twitter, excuse me, on Twitch right now. Potential for more down the road, hopefully. But right now it's on FanDuel's Twitch and doing the game show on there. And it's the Front Yard Fantasy Hour, I believe is what it's called. We just call it the FanDuel show, but, you know, it works. So,
and you may not be on screen most of the time, but I think Jay's in the chat pretty much every single episode. So,
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I get my work schedule set where I can be at my desk. I do, and that's the reason I'm not on the show. I have a Monday through Friday. I have a career. I do IT for my local city, so I get all my responsibilities done where I can be. Most days I can be at my desk and watching the show Monday through Friday. So, and I haven't written in a while, like we were talking about before the show starts. I do have two children that I love dearly, but also drive me insane and keep me very busy. So I've not had a chance to write as lately, but I do also write for Roto Underworld. So I plan on having a weekly column with them this year. Hopefully have something coming out soon as well.
Do you know what your weekly is going to be?
So when I was over, I just started with them here the past few months as well. I've been writing with Going for Two for the past couple of years with Jeff Lambert. He's the guy who gave me my first opportunity. Absolutely love Jeff Lambert. I think the world of him. He was very supportive of me moving on, moving up. And he gave me the opportunity to do, it was called 10 Things You Need to Know About Week X, whatever week it was. And it's basically just a mixture, a little bit of start sit, a little bit of, you know, guys to look out for, guys to trade, just a little bit of everything, just 10 tips where we were at that point in the season. And that's why I really like the opportunity to do that article. I could be creative. He said, do whatever you want with it. So sometimes it was a little more start sit if there was not that much news. You know, I said last year, a couple weeks before it happened, pick up Antonio Brown, even if he doesn't become anything, he's trade bait. Little things like that. I'm going to take that concept and use the Roto Underworld tools and a lot of their metrics and kind of blend those two together. So that's, I'm still a work in progress, but that's the plan for now.
Very cool, man. Very.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Okay, so now let's find out a little more about you. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
I feel really old when I look this up. I've been playing for about 22, 23 years. I don't know exactly. I'm in my mid-30s. I've been playing since I was a teenager. I started with fantasy baseball, and that was the late 90s, early 2000s. I started football a little bit after that. I wasn't one of those that, you know, like the Scott Fishes of the world that had to write down the scores by looking from the paper and stuff like that. But we didn't have live scoring. I vividly remember the first time that Yahoo offered live scoring. It used to be, you know, the days where all the scores would update the next day. If you wanted the live scoring, you had to pay extra. So I was at least in the age before live scoring. And there was this new and upcoming website called Roto World that I thought I had this big secret because I could get all my fantasy information from that website. My cousin's actually the one who got me into it. He got me into his long running fantasy baseball league. He knew I was, you know, obviously with this stuff around me, I'm a huge sports nut. Knew I was big into it, knew I would love fantasy, and I give him full credit. I've been stuck on it ever since.
All right. Well, it's funny because you say you feel old when thinking about it, but if you're in your mid-30s, you're younger than both of us. So just to throw that out there.
Yeah. I thought about really that as soon as I said it. I was like, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't say that. But
yeah, I feel so old. In my head, I'm like, don't worry, he's older than you are.
Yeah, I'm generally the oldest person in almost every podcast or chat that I'm in. Yeah. So.
Rocky and I have had this conversation a few times. So.
Okay, so you've been playing fantasy football since you were in diapers. How long have you been playing Dynasty for?
I'm relatively new to Dynasty, full-on Dynasty. My home league is an auction keeper league, so it has some Dynasty elements to it. You can keep as many guys as you want. We have a $250 budget, so it's kind of Dynasty, but not really. You know, most guys don't keep a full roster by any means. And we have their salaries increased. The first year you keep them as 5. Next year you keep them as 10. Second year you keep them as 20. So their price goes up on a sliding scale. Dynasty, 4 years I've been playing. So I'm still relatively new to it. But I kind of had the concept with my home league, with my home keeper league, some elements. So the draft picks is what really has taken me some time to get used to the value of trading picks in the off season and the mid season, stuff like that. So that's what's taken a little time, but I've now done, like I said, 3-4 years. I feel pretty comfortable.
It's actually a really cool concept that I never really, cause I never did auctions until Dynasty. And honestly, it was maybe 2-3 years into Dynasty. The idea of a keeper league with auction, the way you said, like even just being able to keep whoever the hell you want at that price, and yes, increasing as the years go on. Because even in our keeper leagues where we draft, the value goes up every year you keep them. So that's actually very fitting and like a very, like, kind of want to do a keeper league, but I have no interest in doing a keeper league.
It's a lot of fun because it keeps the draft fresh. You know, everybody gets, you know, startup fever as soon as the season ends, because they want to do drafts that are fun. You know, rookie drafts are fun, but they last what, a day, like maybe two, depending on the clock or whatever. It keeps it, and we've had to tweak it a little bit. We started this league in 2014, and we had it where each player only increased $5 every year. And what the issue was is we had, if you picked a guy up off waivers, you got him for $5. So the first year, I got DeAndre Hopkins off waivers. One guy got Odell Beckham, which we'll talk about when we get into my worst trades. So we got these teams. We had two or three super teams where they had a bunch of cheap keepers. They could overspend on studs. So we had to adjust it where the first time you keep a player is $5. The second time you keep him is $10. Second time, you know, third time. So it makes the draft just a lot more fun. And you still got that dynasty element. You know, you can't just tank and, you know, trade all your high priced players for cheap players, because we have a punishment for last place too. So it's got a nice balance of, you want to try to work for the future, but you don't want to give up too much because you don't want to be stuck in a goat costume eating blazing wings at Buffalo Wild Wings, which is one of our punishments. So
cool. Cause I was going to wait, one of,
yes. Well, basically, we named the League of Extraordinary Goats, just something completely random. Doesn't make any sense. I don't know why somebody came up with it. Like, yeah, that's funny. Let's go with that. So we have a goat costume that we, the last place guy, we do a toilet bowl. So we have a scrote playoffs is what we call them, the goat championship and the scrote. And yes, take goat that for what. Yeah, exactly. So kind of like the Sacco, if you get the two. So it's 10 teams. It's local. You know, a lot of people poo-poo 10-team leagues, but I would rather have
no league shaming here.
Right, exactly. I'd rather have 10 solid guys than have two random guys just to make it 12. You know, it's all friends from high school and college that are all in it together. So we know each other. It makes it that much more fun. But we do 6 teams make the playoffs, and then the 4 teams that don't go into the scrote playoffs. And then if you lose, we make them start week 15. So you have that extra week to sweat it out. and then the championships line up that way too. And then the champion gets to choose the punishment. We usually have 3 or 4 picked out, and then the champ gets to pick whatever the scrote has to do. So we've done the Blazing Challenge. We've done the classic karaoke. I think they chose Total Eclipse of the Heart because the song lasts forever.
I would rock the shit out of and a he goat did. Costume and Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yep. And actually, he wore GoPro on his head while he was doing it as well. Fantastic. So, yep. And then we did where he had to, one guy had to dance at a bar for 10 minutes straight to a playlist that we created. So we have friends who, and actually, it was called the Goat Bar. I live in North Carolina. It's a bar in Raleigh, and we know the owner, and he let us, literally the guy just danced in the middle of the bar, played the music over the speakers, and went to town. So fantastic. Just little things like that. And it's honestly, people are more worried about being the scrote than winning the championship. They would much rather just, like, we've had guys who have literally given away great keepers just to win that one game and get in the playoffs to not have to worry about being the scrote.
Damn straight.
Regardless if Russ loses any league, we now need to get him in a goat costume doing karaoke and get it on video.
And we've also
said he would rock it. It shouldn't matter that you have to lose something.
We added that the scrote has to sing the national anthem at the draft the next year in the goat costume. So as to wear the goat costume the whole draft next year too. And it's never been washed.
Oh my God, I was just about to ask that. Does it get washed in between years?
Because nope, it has
I don't
never
want to be
been...
that dude that wears it after the dude that was dancing in it.
Yep. So the first year was the Blazing Challenge, and then the second year was karaoke. The third year was the dancing. So it's pretty rank. It's pretty nasty.
That's a new level of. I don't want to do karaoke in that suit anymore.
Basically, I said, if somebody gets a staph infection, that's when it's time to retire the suit. So,
have you ever had to wear the goat costume?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask that question, Rocky. I really was hoping, but unfortunately, this year I do have to wear it. I won the championship 2 years ago. I hit on Lamar Jackson, on Miles Sanders, on Chris Godwin. I had to throw that in there so I didn't look like a complete putz this past year. And that's the thing, like you were talking about how, you know, trying to judge how many guys you want to keep, if you want to keep your full roster or not. Mm-hmm. So I won the championship. All my guys were decently priced. I was going to try to run it back. I kept most of my guys, but I had a $50 Michael Thomas. I had a $50 Saquon Barkley. I got ravaged by injuries. And the guys have even said, like, I had no business being the scrape. That's how it is. So I haven't done my punishment yet. I think we're going to go. We have the option of doing something new or doing one of the classics. So I think I am going to have to do the Blazing Challenge in the goat costume. So that will be my punishment this year.
Seriously, just look. There's what was the man versus food guy?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
He did like a video. Like he told everyone just how to beat anything the spicy challenges.
I'm gonna have to look it up then.
He absolutely said, he's like, look, if it was a spicy challenge, it would suck, but I know I could win it every single time.
Right.
Like it'll still be awful on the way out, I'm sure, and it's still gonna be hot while you eat it. But I'm pretty sure it's like just like load yourself with carbs and like a banana or something like that. Like eat a banana right before you go, and the potassium lines. Actually watch the video before. Don't trust me on it because I saw this 10 years ago.
I'm just gonna eat like, so you said eat a dozen bananas before I go. That's what I heard. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said, and that's exactly what you should do.
Okay, that works. And the guy who did it the first year said that the spice, of course, it's, you know, super spicy, but he said the problem is they bring it out, the temperature. They must literally take it out of the fryer, put it on a plate, and bring it out. He said the actual physical temperature of the food is what was so hard to get past. He did a good job. I think he got like 8 of them down.
Oh, damn. I remember once I went, and I got wings with some dude who's just like, no, I'll take the atomic. That's cool. And I'm just like, wait, what? And I'm like, all right, let's pick it up. And I got maybe like 8 inches away from my face and I could feel the spice already. Like, no, thank you. I'm done. Let me go wash my hands.
I went to Buffalo for a wedding. One of my buddies is from Buffalo originally. So obviously I had to try some Buffalo wings. We went to, I think the place was Duff's. I think there's two places that in Buffalo supposedly claim the original wing. And they had the death wing. And I was a college student. So I'm like, yeah, I want to try it. I can handle spicy food. Like I really enjoy spicy food. I'm not kidding you. I ate one wing. I was sweating profusely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never tasted something so spicy in my entire life. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. I think I got through 3. And I could have kept going, but it wasn't a challenge or anything. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do this to myself. My lips started swelling. Like, it was unreal. I didn't even have a cup. I said, just bring me a pitcher of water. I stuck a straw in the pitcher. It was, I mean.
I was just picturing you just going, oh. I was thinking, just dumping it on your face.
That probably would have been better. And I might have to do that when I do the punishment in a few weeks. We're doing it after draft day, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely do that because that's almost like washing the freaking goat suit.
That's a good call.
All right, let's pull this back in a little bit. Let's get back to, I don't know how you come back from that, but
that's true.
What is the next question? What were we talking about? Okay. What are some of the best and worst trades you've made in Dynasty?
Okay, so for Dynasty, one of the best trades I made was here recently. 2 years ago, I took over an orphan, and the team was just decimated. So went into a dispersal draft, and the team, like, there was, I think, one other team that was in it, and there wasn't. The only guy that was worth anything that I got was Michael Thomas, and that was after his, you know, wide receiver 1 overall finish. I knew there was nothing else on this team that was worth anything. So I put him on the block. I knew, you know, the whole thing is in Dynasty, wide receivers have a long shelf life, but the way that this team was built, I knew in my head Drew Brees is probably going to be retired by the time this team is going to be any good. I might as well capitalize, you know, wide receiver 1 season. his value is not going to get any higher. So I traded Michael Thomas for Tyler Lockett and two first-round picks, which the two first-round picks turned out to be looked a lot better like 3 weeks ago. It was Cam Akers and DeAndre Swift. So it was basically Swift, Akers, and Tyler Lockett for Michael Thomas. Yeah, it really sucked. I'm still, you know, I still made the right deal.
Yes.
There's nothing you can do about the Akers situation. That's a part of fantasy football. That's what happens. It is what it is.
But we are in key offseason mode right now in the football, because there is no offseason in Dynasty, where we're getting those workout videos of Marlon Mack, and he's supposedly looking good.
I saw that like an hour before I came on. I'm like,
so, hey, man,
he's running drills.
For Akers, yeah, right?
I know. It blew up like everybody's like, oh, he looks so explosive.
He's in the
like,
best shape of his life.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, at least you're saved from Cam Akers underperforming expectations this year.
Yeah, I know. I was listening to you talking to Jeff last week talking about Cam Akers, and yeah, that's it's, yep. So it was, it is, you know, it hurts, but at least I don't have to live up to that disappointment.
All right. So you teased us with an Odell Beckham bad trade.
Yeah. This hurts really, really bad. This
all
was
right, before, was it when he was on the Giants? Was this a homer move?
No, I actually, so yes, he was on the Giants, but it was not a homer move. It was the opposite. And okay. I actually have a little bit of a confession with this as well. I felt guilty about this for a long time. This happens to deal with the godfather of fantasy, Matthew Berry. So this was before I was in the Twitterverse. This is before I even really knew what fantasy Twitter was. I basically, the only show that I listened to was Matthew Berry on ESPN. And that was even before, I think it was before Field Yates was on there. What was his name that was on there with him before Field Yates? Nate?
Rabbits?
Nate Rabbits? Yeah, say Nate is a weasel or whatever he used to always do. But so it was Odell Beckham's rookie year. I had Victor Cruz, and Victor Cruz went down. So I picked up both Ruben Randall and I picked up this guy named Odell Beckham. Mm. So I was like, I don't want both of these guys. I need a tight end. So my buddy was looking for a wide receiver. He said, who do you, he said, I don't care which one. Here, I'll give you Larry Donnell. That was when Larry Donnell was just catching touchdowns for no reason. It's like, okay.
Was this the Giants only league?
No, I know. I know. Tell me about it. And it was from, it was a Washington football team fan as well. But he basically said, give me whichever one you don't want. And he said, I'm going to drop Donnell. I need a wide receiver. I said, all right. Yeah, I think Donnell had a good matchup that week. I was like, all I'm looking for is the chance to catch a touchdown from a tight end. So I vividly remember listening to Matthew Berry's podcast, and he said Ruben Randall was getting all of the red zone targets. So between the two, Ruben Randall is the guy that you want. You don't want Odell Beckham. So I traded Odell Beckham for Larry Donnell, and the rest is history. And that was the first year of that league. So my home league is the auction league we developed from another league. But that was the first year of the auction league. And I wound up losing my semifinals matchup by 5 points.
To Odell Beckham?
No, not to Odell, but Odell would have led me to the championship. And so Odell's amazing rookie year, I was miserable the entire time because I traded Odell Beckham. And for the longest time, I blamed Matthew Berry. That's my confession. I was so angry at Matthew Berry for giving me the advice that I made that move. I've come to terms with it. I've learned that, you know, he didn't make me make that move. I'm the one that made that decision. Not his fault whatsoever. So, Matthew Berry, I know you're listening. I apologize.
He does,
for being,
yes.
I feel I apologize for being so angry at you for years. That was me. That was not you. So, I eventually want to tell him that story, but I legit was so – I could not enjoy Odell Beckham's rookie year because I was so upset at that deal. And actually, Rocky, you'll probably remember this. That year, semifinals matchup, I lost the one I said I lost by five. The reason I know that is because Chris Polk vultured two touchdowns from Shady McCoy, and Darren Sproles vultured another one. So Shady McCoy had three touchdowns vultured
Chris
by.
Polk.
Yep.
That's a name.
Yep. Yeah. And I lost by 5 points, and I would have won the championship the first year with that league. It's still just...
I didn't even remember he existed until you said that name.
I will never forget. I will never forget the name Chris Polk.
Which is
Chip Kelly for you.
Oh man, see, and the thing is, I absolutely won like two or three championships because I picked up Odell Beckham off the waiver wire, you know, like 2 weeks before. Oh, he's going to start practicing. Let me go get that guy.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember, lost the redraft league. I dominated that year because I faced Odell Beckham in the championship game.
Yeah, and that was, you know what, it was a learning experience, though, and that's where I finally made the decision where, and it led me to fantasy Twitter. So I was, because I was like, I'm done. I'm never listening to Matthew Perry ever again. I got to find something else to listen to. And then that's how I stumbled across fantasy Twitter, and, you know, here I am now. But that's the point where I finally realized that I would rather be wrong going with my gut, because I honestly did want to keep Odell. It's like, he's a rookie. You never know what's going to happen. Reuben Randall's Reuben Randall. But I would rather be wrong going with my gut, going with my guys, versus being wrong going with someone else's guy. And that's the example that I continuously play in my head, trying to make decisions like, you know what, I'm going to go with what I think, because I would rather be wrong with my take versus wrong with somebody else's take.
Oh, and what's that shirt you're wearing right now?
Process over results. There you go. Yeah, exactly.
I own that shirt. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the Game Makers news. Like, that's a perfect example of process over results. It was the right move.
You did the best you could with what you had in front of you.
Exactly.
All right. So what is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you are evaluating or offering a trade?
So for me personally, the most important thing is to always look for a trade that helps both sides. There's nothing more aggravating than trying to have a trade conversation with somebody that feels like they have to destroy you in every trade and they have to win every trade. You know, the best trades, in my opinion, are one that helps both sides out for multiple reasons. You know, obviously you don't want to give your opponent too much, figure your opponent, you don't want them to win, but a good trade relationship long-term can help you out versus, you know, the one or two times you rip a guy off and then he's got the piece that you need to complete your puzzle for your team, and he wants nothing to do with you because he's going to be suspicious of any move that you make. In that home league that I was telling you about, I've got one guy specifically, my buddy Levi, who for years we've had a good working trade relationship. And it's not where, you know, it's not, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying collude or anything like that. But I know if I need something and he's got it, we'll be able to come to a mutually beneficial deal where, mm-hmm, we don't have to play the games. You know, I have talked about earlier, maybe I'm just getting old and I don't want to deal with the trade games and stuff like that. I just rather, let's get down to it. You know, do you want this guy? You know, let's make this happen for both of us. I think long-term, yeah, you might not be able to milk every little penny out of somebody, but it's going to help you out in the long-term, especially in Dynasty.
Yeah. I mean, that's nice of you, I guess.
Rush just wants to destroy everybody in every trade.
Everyone. Yeah, it's probably why I don't get trades done anymore. People just don't let me win anymore. Everyone was just like, oh yeah, it's Russ's league, let's just let him get the trade. And now everyone's like, they learn better. Ugh, jerks. Okay, speaking of jerks, let's talk about some news in the NFL. Okay, that was messed up. No, that's not what we're that's not the transition we're gonna use. Let's start out with the happy news and then go into the sad news. Nick Chubb got a 3-year, $36 million extension. This is what, a year after Hunt got extended, or was that 2 years ago? Can't remember anymore. I think it was last year.
I think it was last year.
I think you're right.
So all of the things we've been saying for the past year are true. They just want to run the damn ball, and that's fine. You know, I'm pretty good with that. Does this change anything for either of you when it comes to any of the players on the Browns? Before this, were you worried about Chubb? Does this make you like your ex-boy Beckham any better or worse? Landry better or worse? Any Baker better or worse? Is there a take you can create based off the knowledge that Nick Chubb is now going to be on the Browns for another, well, technically 4 years, because it's a 3-year extension for the one more year he had?
Makes me like Nick Chubb even more, because now you don't see guys getting big second contracts, especially, you know, the way that guys are falling off. Like you said, they want to run the ball. When they extended Kareem Hunt last year, a lot of people were thinking, okay, well, that means that Chubb's going to be out the door after this year. I absolutely love Chubb. I think he's one of the best pure runners in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He had the second highest yards per carry last year, 5.6 to J.K. Dobbins, 6.0. You know, he only played in 12 games, but he still had over 1,000 yards at double-digit touchdowns. For me, the takeaway, not a whole lot changes. I was already on Nick Chubb before this news. If people are fading him because of Kareem Hunt, they proved last year that they can coexist, and he did just fine when he was on the field. They even, you know, a lot of talk goes into Kareem Hunt gets the receptions, stuff like that. If you watch the games, they were getting Nick Chubb involved. They were putting him out wide, you know, obviously not as much as Kareem Hunt, but they want to get him involved in the passing game somewhat as well. He's a capable pass catcher. He's not ever going to be somebody who's targeted a lot, but it's in his toolbox. Odell, I will say, I do think he's at the point that he is a little bit, he's worth the risk. I don't think he's ever going to be, you know, when I first started Dynasty, he was probably the number one overall pick, let alone wide receiver one overall.
Remember the days when wide receivers were the 101?
Yeah. It's funny how things change oh so quickly. But I do think, you know, he's still got the talent. Well, let me look at his ADP real quick if I can find it.
He's
wide receiver 30 something, I think.
Let's see. He 27. So, I mean, he's going around, well, T. Higgins. Yeah, I take T. Higgins over him, Chase Claypool. Devonta Smith, Cortland Sutton, DJ Chark.
I think those are Odell.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Chark, I don't know, but I'm a biscuit truther. But yeah, like he's worth the gamble there. I mean, you can make a case for any of all those guys have their different warts. You could see, you know, besides the T. Higgins and Chase Claypools, you know, you could make an argument for him just as good as you could DJ Chark or Sutton or those guys.
Hey, you leave my boy Sutton out of this. But no, you're absolutely right. actually, I love both of them. I'm just pretending to make a fight to make it sound interesting. Man, what was I going to say now? It's gone. Odell showed last season that he can still put up a 40-point game. It could be a complete and utter fluke, but just...
keyword A, 40-point game.
No, 100%. But the thing is, like, he could... The volume will be there for him to get... eight targets a game, and he's not Odell Beckham, but he's still Odell Beckham. You know, he has the chance to take any of those to the house at any given moment. So if he is your wide receiver 5 on your team at that point in the draft, then at least with the way I draft, like then that, to me, you're right. I 100% agree that he is absolutely worth the risk.
Yeah, 100%. If he could, you know, take you to the house with noodle-armed Eli Manning in his first few years in the league, he can do it with Baker Mayfield. So by all means,
most of his touchdowns were on slants anyway.
Yeah. And he just outran everybody simply. I mean, it's true. So yeah, I think it's well worth it. I will say, Odell being healthy, I know we were talking about Chubb, but might be a little bit of a hindrance for Baker because he seemed to always try to force the ball to Odell, you know, not anything drastic, but he played a lot better, and it reminded me of I'm going to sound like such a homer talking about the Giants nonstop. I normally don't, but it's the first thing that popped in my mind when Jeremy Shockey went down with the Giants in 2007, and Eli Manning didn't feel like he had to force the ball to Jeremy Shockey to keep him happy. He could play, you know, spread the ball around, play his game, not have to think about I got to get the ball to this guy. So depending on what happens with Odell, if Baker doesn't try to force him the ball, I think Baker can be successful again. If they try to do that again, where he's forcing the ball to Odell to keep him happy, Baker could, you know, disappoint.
I hope that doesn't happen. Rocky, we had Trader Joe pop in the chat to say hi, and then we start talking to Browns, and then he disappeared. Like, I kind of wish he was here to say something. But since we don't have Joe, I guess you're my silver medal, Rocky. What do you got about any of this?
I mean, I think Jay kind of said it. I mean, to me, not much has changed, period. They were going to be a running team. Now it's just solidified they're going to be a running team. Baker's still going to be an overvalued Kirk Cousins. And Beckham's still going to be a wide receiver 3. And Chubb's going to be great. And Hunt's going to do what he does. And he's occasionally going to pop off. And you're not going to be sure when. So I don't think it changes much at all. I think they basically are, you know, they are what we thought they were. So
nice.
Let them off talk. Sorry.
And Joe is in the chat, and he says they can get out of Hunt after this year. But I still do think they're always going to be a multiple running back team. But it does give me a little sense of safety that they extended him. Like you said, Jay, like he's one of the best pure runners in the league. And he, and if they would just throw him the ball, he'd catch it. He's right. not, you know, out there running wide receiver routes like McCaffrey or anything like that. But the dude can be 100% be a workhorse. But I don't think that's going to exist all that much anymore, especially with the extra game. But that's a different story altogether now. but yeah, no, I'm all aboard the Chubb train. Like, okay, here we go. Joe finally chiming in. Felton was drafted to replace Hunt potentially. There you go. Best O-line in the NFL, all five returning. Now, I have no idea if that's just him being a little bit of homer, but they did have a – their line was playing well towards the end of the year, and getting all five back is like almost like a unicorn at this point, you know, in the NFL.
Yeah.
So that's pretty great. Next, let's get on to the less – let's go in order of sadness. Devonta Smith is out 2 to 3 weeks with an MCL sprain. Now, while this isn't the biggest news because it is – man, it's August. It is August 2nd, so even 3 weeks from now, it's not week one, so it's not the biggest deal in the world, but the world, Twitter world, I should say, exploded with back on the BMI the BMI bandwagon about him being skinny and getting hurt. But really, like, my question was, I feel like in years prior, before last year, like, you know, 2-3 years ago, if this were to happen, we'd be down on this wide receiver for the beginning of the year. Like, oh, he's hurt. He's not getting his time in camp, not getting his time with his quarterback. But then last year happens and no one had time with their quarterback. No one had time with the team. And then we still had Justin Jefferson and T. Higgins and all of this stuff. So having done no research on this whatsoever, this is all purely anecdotal. Like, are we still upset with young wide receivers that are going to miss a few weeks? Like, let's say he comes back in 3 weeks completely healthy, you know, we see him doing cartwheels or whatever the hell makes us feel better in the training camp video. Do we fade him at the beginning of the year because of this, or are we just fine now because we've seen rookie wide receivers can come in and do well, assuming they are as talented as we want them to be? Because let's face it, Justin Jefferson and T. Higgins did as well as they did because they're just really freaking good at football. But, like, does this change anything for you? Does this, at least going through what we went through last year, does now missing the preseason matter at all to either of you?
I don't think so. I think if you're – I think what you said is true when we saw last year. If you're good, you're going to be good. I think – wasn't that even the case – even going back further, wasn't that the case with Beckham? Wasn't he hurt early?
Yeah, he missed the first
– 6 games, 7 games?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, and I think Devontae Smith is, and I'm not just saying that because I'm an Eagles fan. I liked him going into the whole process. I just think he was the number two guy after Chase. I think he's going to be a good player. I mean, this doesn't help, and we'll see how well Hurts can get him the ball. But the reports so far were pretty good that he was getting open. He does have those chicken legs, as Nick Martinez said, but it didn't seem to in the chat. But it didn't seem to, you know, he wasn't getting injured all over the place in college. I mean, yes, I guess they are bigger players, but it's not even like he got hit here. I mean, I don't think they're hitting in practice too much. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be fine. Like you said, they said a couple weeks, I think Rappaport put out. So if he misses 2 weeks, I think they might even just be overly cautious here, you know, not wanting him to get hurt any worse, you know, in August. So it's not ideal. You'd rather him have the reps, but I mean, he's still going to be there in the building with Hurts. He'll still be, you know, in the playbook. I think he'll be fine. And he's still got multiple weeks, you know, once he comes back to get the reps with Hurts.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even really, like, I used this specific example to bring up the question, but I wasn't necessarily meaning the question purely to Devonta Smith because, yeah, like, you know, he's good. We've seen that. He did really well in college, so it's not like he's magically bad. So it was really just a broader question of going in. Like, I'm sure Devonta Smith is going to be absolutely fine, but, like, even, like, Odell Beckham being injured in the first place led to you just being like, no, I'm going to take the safetiness of Reuben Randall, who was, let's face it, not very good at football. He was just a very big dude.
Yeah.
And yeah. I live in New Jersey, so I know Reuben Randall pretty well. You know, I got to watch him play all the time. He's no Ramses Barden, let me tell you.
Oh, man, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Speaking of large dudes that couldn't play football.
Yeah. He was the next Plaxico. That's all you ever heard.
Next. Oh, That's awesome.
Yeah, I think Rocky hit the nail on the head. I think it's be perfectly fine. I think they're playing it safe. I will say, I think this now gives me a chance where I'll actually draft Devonta Smith, and it's not because I don't like him, but I feel like the hype was getting too high and pushing his ADP too high. He's been getting drafted at his ceiling, in my opinion. Everybody's obsessed with, you know, rightfully so, you know, he should get a ton of targets in this offense. Rager, I think, is better suited as a number two. People were automatically assuming, myself included, that Ertz was gone. Well, it looks like Ertz is probably going to be here another year. So he's not going to get quite as many targets as people thought, you know, with Ertz, with Goddard. I think Kenny Gainwell is going to be involved in the passing game. So
JJ Arcega-Whiteside's year, baby.
Oh, yeah. My buddy Dan, who we unfortunately are not doing a show together anymore because he's good for him. He's doing for Champions Round. He's going to be doing some content for them. So can't do our show anymore, but he was a J-Jaw truther, and now he said he's still a J-Jaw truther. So I give him crap about that all the time. But I think this is an opportunity if somebody's panicking to buy low. As we all know, Twitter is just a little overreactionary. So now all of a sudden, like you said, oh, BMI, this has nothing to do with his BMI. Like, absolutely nothing. He sprained his knee in practice. That happens. Like, they're football players. That's what happens. So I think if his stock starts to slip a little bit, if his ADP starts to drop, I think, you know, buy the dip. He's extremely talented. I'm not going to lie, I was extremely upset when the Eagles jumped us to get him. He's who I wanted. I thought he would really fit well on this team, but such is life when you do business with the Cowboys. You know,
silver lining, Jay. You got Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, don't even go there. That's not. Now I will. I do like having the two picks next year because if Daniel Jones falls on his face, which he's done before, he very likely could do again. We're in a position to draft a quarterback in the future next year if it doesn't work out. So I don't like the Toney pick, but I like having the extra pick next year.
I don't like this Daniel Jones bad talking, so we're going to move on.
I'm right, a Duke fan too, so you know that means as anymore. Yeah,
the Eagles also have an extra pick next year. They may have one less as we segue into some more news, Russ.
Yep, absolutely.
Nice job.
Love it. That was so beautiful. Carson Wentz is going to get foot surgery on an injury he might have gotten in high school. I think I read somewhere.
I saw that.
Yeah.
It's really?
Bone came loose from that has been messed up since high school or something.
Yeah. So he's going to be out from a wonderful range of 5 to 12 weeks, whatever
what
the hell that
hell
means.
What is that? Put on the sheet here, play to only send a second. That was the very first thing that came. Like, why else do you make it 5 to 12 weeks?
I literally laughed out loud when I saw that. That was
what like, is that even, like, you know, he might be there for week one or he might miss the season. We're not right. Sure. You know?
His career might be over. You know,
5 or 6 weeks is even pre-week one. Or you could miss almost half the season. So,
yeah. So I jokingly on the show sheet wrote ploy to only pay a second. So, Rocky, why don't you explain that one?
Yeah, because the Eagles, when they traded Wentz, it was a conditional pick. He has to play 75% of the snaps or 70% and the Colts make the playoffs and it's a first. Otherwise, it's a second. So, yes, I've been very into the injury updates coming out from the Colts. And yes, 5 to 12 weeks, that was the very first thing that popped into my head. It's, oh, yes, we will miss exactly enough games so that you will only get a second-round pick.
But they're going to make the playoffs where he gets 68% of the snaps. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so I really, 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 really want to believe that's not the case. Just going to put that out there. Just because I have a little faith in humanity left somewhere in my body.
I'm joking about it, but I can't believe it.
I'm not joking about it because that's kind of crazy.
They could go 0-4 with Jacob Eason or Brett Hundley or whoever the hell they're putting out there.
They have a tough start to the season too, don't they? I think somebody was talking about
I think
about
they do have a tough schedule to begin with anyway. It was going to probably be tough with Wentz.
I don't know. I got a couple of rookie
Seahawks, JP. Rams, Titans, Dolphins,
the Seahawks
Ravens.
Defense isn't good anymore. So they just, as long as they can sort of outscore them, so it's fine. I mean, I have a couple of Jacob Eason rookie cards I need to gain value. So let him play. Let him win.
You go from 50 cents to $1, you know, double your money.
Damn straight, man. Doubling money is still doubling my money. I don't have to tell you what it was. Damien brings up Gardner Minshew. Oh, that would be fantastic. Just
I've seen a couple of people talk about that. Who was it? Warren Sharp that tweeted, said that Gardner Minshew would win more games with this team than a healthy Carson Wentz or something like that. I think it was Warren Sharp.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted that out.
Warren, you're better than that. Come on.
I'm very curious to see what they do because Carson does not deal well with a legitimate backup. I'm still convinced the drafting of Jalen Hurts is responsible for the debacle that we saw last season. I've said it multiple times this non-point scoring season. I think it broke Wentz. The threat of after Nick Foles, the threat of a second round pick coming in to take his job already. I'm not sure how he would respond to a Minshew. I've heard people say about Nick Foles going there. He would literally like his head would explode or something.
Did you see Nick Foles posturing? Like, yeah, I love Frank Reich. Like, just say I want the Colts to trade for me.
I won the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not the best from the men. Part of the reason I liked him so much in Indianapolis is I thought everything was set up well for him mentally. He was with his old offensive coordinator from the Super Bowl / almost MVP year for him. And just everything was said. He got a great old line, so we didn't have to worry about that. I mean, everything was just kind of set up perfectly for him there. And if they bring in a legit backup, I don't think that's going to go well.
Yeah, the only other thing I saw was Marcus Mariota is quote unquote very tradable right now.
I feel like they've been saying that all offseason, though. Didn't they extend him? Or was he a free agent and he re-signed or something like that? I think he was a free agent, maybe.
No, yeah, he probably signed a 1-year deal last year, or he signed a 2-year deal or something. I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to pretend that I know the answer to that. But.
And that's why we love you.
Yeah. But supposedly his contract is very movable, and I love me some Marcus Mariota, so woo woo. But I also love Carson Wentz, and I want Carson Wentz to walk into the starting job the second he's healthy. So that's why I hope they just ride with Eason, because I've been so freaking thrilled for Carson Wentz leading this team with Michael Pittman and Mo Ali Cox. Maybe like why wouldn't they sign they why wouldn't they re-sign Trey Burton is my question. But they let him walk. But like Paris Campbell, come on, man. Stay healthy.
He was one of my many players that got injured on my team last year that led me being the scrote. So, yeah. Paris Campbell. Yeah,
T.Y. Hilton is still there, whether he's still T.Y. or not. Like, there's that, you know, Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines. Like, that offense is really freaking good. And we've seen the fact that Carson Wentz can be really freaking good. And like Rocky was saying, everything was set up for him to be really freaking good, except for one bad day in high school. I mean,
and two, the offensive line, that was the problem with the Eagles last year, all the injuries, he was getting beat up. I am with you guys. I was all in on Carson Wentz last year. I still think he's talented. I still think he can play at that MVP caliber level. I know a lot of people are all the way out on him, but Rocky, you know, watching all the games, that team was a disaster last year. I mean, if it could, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the Wentz thing messed with his head. Excuse me, the Hurts thing messed with his head, getting hit, the coach not liking him. Like, it was obvious. It sounded like there was, you know, a split locker room, people wanting to give Hurts a chance. I was so happy, like you said, Russ, to see him get this opportunity with a good offensive line, with, you know, back with Wright, with the weapons that he had, and then maybe, you know, he stubbed his toe on a bicycle rack in high school or something, and now it's starting to rear its ugly head now.
All right, so let's bring this back to the brand. Are you trading for Wentz, or are you trading him away on your team? What would it take? Let's say I
already have him, so I can't trade for him.
Let's say I have a team that it's not great. I'm retooling, not rebuilding, because you don't. I guess you can trade for Carson Wentz if you're rebuilding, because he's still young enough and has a future, I believe. But let's say I throw a random first for Carson Wentz at you right now. 22 first.
Whew, that's tough. Are we talking super flex?
Oh, that's pretty much
cool. Okay, that's what I just like. That's
if it
that's
was QB, my mind, if you didn't say yes right away, then
right. Okay,
you know,
my mind automatically goes to super flex, so I always have to ask because there's, you know, like three people that still like one QB.
not these guys.
Yeah, good. I think I would still keep Wentz, honestly. I believe in the talent. I think I would still keep him.
Yeah, I wouldn't have sold him for a single first before this, and just I mean, for all we know, he could miss like 2 weeks or less.
Even so, if he misses six games, like he's still going to be, you know, especially in Superflex, he's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I'm not trading him for less than I would have before this because he's going to be back on the field and then we'll see. I mean, if he plays like he played last year, then you're in trouble. But I'm not trading him for any less until I know that he's the Carson Wentz we saw last year, not the Carson Wentz I was expecting this year.
Okay, so let's flip it around. Would you pay a first for Carson Wentz right now?
Yeah, I'd do it without hesitation.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah, me too. Okay, just wanted to, you know, bring it back to the brand a little bit.
Because like I said, I think that's a discount right now. Is one for, I don't know that he was going for two firsts, but I think you had to pay a first.
Yeah, I was about to ask a first and a second, but at that point, does that matter that much? You know, you'd probably just say yes anyway. All right, so we actually got a bunch of trades. So we're going to go into hold on. Let's go through the questions for a second. All right, so we're going to do one listener question first just because it's very you specific, and then we'll go to the trades and back to the questions if we have time. So at Jen Nate Jack FF.
Yeah,
I never knew how to say that.
Yep, his wife is Jen, his name is Nate. Oh, Jen Jackson's Nate, a son, Jen Nate Jack, all of them together.
Jen Nate Jack. Oh, that's clever. I like it. That's cute. If you take the first letter of all of our names in the family, you spell rent. That's the closest thing I got.
Okay.
Nate wants to know, well, why is his choice of baseball teams even worse than his choice of football team?
Yeah, I saw that in the question and I was hoping it would get asked. I love Nate. He's a very good friend of mine. Unfortunately, he's got a poor taste in baseball teams because he is a Boston Red Sox fan. Right. For those of you who are not watching
patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, you could see that blue and white pinstripes behind
me. Yep, I got a Gleyber Torres jersey hanging up behind me, like we were talking about before. You know, people are like, well, how's this guy that lives in North Carolina a Giants fan, a Yankees fan? I'm a Duke fan, so I do have an immune deficiency like we were talking about. I was born in New York, but we moved to North Carolina when I was four. Duke University, they're one of the best in the world for my disease. So the professional teams, Giants, unfortunately Knicks, although they're doing better now, and the Yankees, grew up diehard, all three of those. I did adopt the Carolina Hurricanes for hockey. I started going when I was young. I lived 20 minutes from the stadium. And then I'm used to the hate when it comes to the Yankees, being a Duke fan. Everybody hates Duke. Everybody hates the Yankees. so that's how I got my fandom. It's a family thing. My sports fandom, me and my dad have always been big into sports. My brother is as well, but not quite as much as me. I'm pretty lucky. I've got to go to some pretty big games with my dad. We went to Super Bowl 42. Giants beat the undefeated Pats. We were there. We went to the World Series in 09 when they beat the Rockies Phillies. So I am, even though, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, you live in North Carolina, you're, you know, front runner. No, I've lived through some lean years. I'm not going to act like, you know, I'm not spoiled or anything with the amount of championships that I've seen as a Yankees fan. I know, you know, people would kill for one and I've seen five. So it's, I can't complain too much.
No, but seriously, like you're a New York sports fan. It's not like you're not like me who randomly chose teams throughout the country for no particular reason whatsoever. Right. you like multiple teams from New York. That's not a strange thing.
Right.
It just so happens you're not in New York right now.
Right. That's fine. Well, and you know what? Seattle. Even that, like for me, like, and I used to be, you know, that way too. Like, you know, why is this random? You know, like my cousin, born and raised on Long Island, is a Washington football team fan. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I don't care who you like, as long as you stick with them through thick and thin. Don't be like, oh, you know what? They suck. I'm not going to be a fan of them anymore. You know, like who you like, that's fine. Yeah, I hate the Red Sox, but as long as you're with them through thick and thin, then you still suck, but at least I respect you as a fan.
I hate you. I respect you.
Exactly.
I still hate you.
100%.
Basically how I feel about Jay.
Yeah, that's right.
As a Giants fan.
And you missed it. I was...
I like you and respect you, so...
Well, thank you. Same for you. Rocky, not so much. We're working on it, but I was talking about the... just so happened to talk about the 09 World Series where the Yankees beat the Phillies, but you just so conveniently missed that, but just wanted to bring that up again.
No, he was there. He had to turn off his camera because he was kicking shit and all around his house.
Yeah, screaming. That's why I muted. Yeah.
All right, so let's get to some Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception. And we got TA1 trades, so not every league but TA1 has 0.05 points per return yardage. Let's go. Actually, we're going to save the OC trades for the end. Let's start first with another U trade anyway. Yes. Alvin Kamara for Jerry Jeudy and Terry McLaurin. Jay, you know what? I'm going to go first on this. I saw this happen because I'm in the league, and it came through. And well, my first reaction was, okay, now give me Jerry Jeudy, to which he said, send me an offer. And I'm like, why? Just give him to me again, my league. Just give him. I love this, like, for, you know, A, as a guy who just loves wide receivers, B, for your team specifically, that you had no idea what you were doing with it. So getting rid, you know, to add context, which I know technically we don't always do, but you know, you don't know what you're doing with your team. You picked a direction, man. Like, you grabbed two really good young wide receivers. And while maybe if you throw it in a trade calculator, that doesn't add up to Alvin Kamara, I'm still absolutely okay with that. The value is Kamara. I will say that right out now. But those two dudes are just, I think, only getting better. I would take the Kamara side if it was put in front of me, but my heart is on the side you got, Rocky.
Yeah, and like you said, I did that league. We're going to talk about it, like you said, in a little bit, the outhouse challenge trades that I ended up doing. But it's part of the reason I did it is TA1 and TA7 are two of the leagues I did it in. And neither of those leagues do I really, even into August here, feel confident about which way those teams should be going. So, yeah, I've been kind of fine on getting out on Kamara at this point. I had a lot of Kamara shares going into the non-point scoring season, and I've moved a couple. I think I moved them for Swift in a first in another league.
Yeah, that's cool.
I am a little worried just that Saints offense could be terrible regardless of who the quarterback is. Just with, especially now that Michael Thomas is out for at least 6 weeks. So he's what, Kamara's 26. So, I mean, I don't mind getting out, especially on a team. I'm not sure what I'm doing with it. I get two young receivers back. I love McLaurin. I think both of these guys are going to shoot up in value too. So potential trade bait going into the future as well. So, and Kamara is definitely not going to go up in value. So on a team, I'm not sure what I'm doing. I've said this, I think, a bunch of times when we've talked TA1 or TA7 trades. I like taking the value. And maybe, like you said, maybe the Kamara side is the value right now. But if you're not sure you're going to contend, I think the value play is to get the two theoretically rising assets and dump the descending one. So that's where I went. And this was actually offered to me, so I just accepted it.
Oh, sweet. I love when that happens.
So I am a well-known, robust running back type of guy. Maybe it's just the old school in me where, you know, every draft started the first 2-3 rounds was nothing but running backs. But
I will say, Jay, I also am too, usually. Like we said, the sort of directionless aspect of this team. Also, if I do decide to try and contend, which I'm not sure I can, I do still have Dobbins and Aaron Jones as well. So,
oh, yeah. Well, even where I was going with it is, I absolutely love this deal for both sides. And if I had, you know, we talked about my number one philosophy for trading. My second philosophy would be that you don't always have to get 100% of the value. Don't be afraid to, you know, take 80% on the dollar, 75% on the dollar, if it makes your team better. So I think this is, and that's what I was going to, you know, see if there was a little context with this. If you're not 100% sure where you're going, especially with running backs, we all know how fast they drop off. I'm the type of fantasy manager, I would rather get out a year too early than a year too late. And that was my thinking too with the Michael Thomas, even though it's, you know, not as common with the wide receivers. I was thinking the whole Drew Brees saga. This is absolutely perfect. You got two guys who are already, you know, Judy's probably, you know, with his production last year, more of a wide receiver three. But in my mind, Judy's a wide receiver two that can easily jump into wide receiver one territory. McLaurin's already there, you know, depending on how much Fitzpatrick throws the ball, you know, he could be a top seven, top five option if things go right. The only thing that worries me with him from being there is how good the Washington defense is. You know, I don't think that they're going to be in a ton of shootouts. I think this is a perfect example of a win-win. Makes sense for your team. You got yourself a future. I would assume that the team that traded for Kamara is looking to win now with the injury news to Michael Thomas. So, you know, even though the offense won't be as good, Kamara could be in line for even more targets. So I love it. I think this is a great trade for both sides.
All right, so let's move on to our next one, one where I was trying to negotiate a trade with one of these guys and the trade went through. And then like, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Oh, that's the worst.
I was actually talking to somebody about if I should offer X for Tom Brady when this trade went through. Brady's part of the trade. So.
Well, it's funny because it wasn't even one of the guys I was talking about him with, but he's just like, yeah, my perspective changed a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, I see that, man. All right, so let's actually talk about the trade itself. This is a deal. Christian McCaffrey for Tom Brady, David Montgomery, Mike Evans, and Raheem Mostert. So this is two competing teams. So this is pure value, Jay. Would you take Christian McCaffrey or half a starting lineup in Tom Brady, David Montgomery, Mike Evans, and Raheem Mostert?
Give me the CMC side. Like, if I'm going to deal CMC, I want a king's ransom. I know I said I'm the type that I will, you know, I'd rather get out a year too early before a year too late, but CMC is one of the few players that has league winning upside, and that term gets thrown around so much, but it's the truth of them. To be completely honest, I'm not a huge David Montgomery guy, so that might have something to do with it as well. You know, Brady is, he's still got a little bit of upside, but we all know he's getting up there in age. He's going to play till he's like 65, 66, something like that. But he doesn't have that league winning upside like a CMC. Evans is a rock solid wide receiver one, you know, back end wide receiver one, high end wide receiver two. Mostert, he can't stay healthy when he's on the field. Yeah, he produces, but they got Sermon. You know, we all know how Shanahanigans happen, and you never know which running back you're going to start. I just don't like playing those guys. You know, it's a flex play, that's fine, but, you know, Mostert, you're probably looking more of a running back two situation. You know, obviously, it depends on the construction of the team. If I'm dealing with a guy like CMC, I don't want to make it for depth. I want it to be for, you know, like I said, a king's ransom.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of was, oh, I'd pay that for CMC, which is weird because it's something I'm willing to pay for CMC. Like, kind of like what you said, not necessarily a king's ransom kind of thing, but like, I want to get one player from your team you feel bad about letting go of.
That's right. What I was going to say, you need to get a stud back in a CMC deal.
Right.
I mean, clearly you're not going to get a dude like, you know, Kamara, Saquon. You're not like, you're not going to get one of those back because that's pretty much just swapping. But you know, someone that's like a second or third round, you know, like
a Justin Jefferson or AJ Brown. If you put one of those guys instead of Mike Evans,
or even CD Lamb,
do it all day. Yeah. Exactly.
Like a second, third round startup.
Like Mike Evans, I definitely think Mike Evans, and I was bad about that too. I think he's been underrated for in the community for a long time, but especially with Godwin.
Career,
to your point there, what you're saying, Jay, when I looked at this, I thought he just got CMC for four guys nobody wants.
Yeah.
Like, those are like four. I mean, they're points, but they're like four undervalued guys that, like, you're not going to be able to move either if things don't go well.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'll take Mostert. I mean, the thing is, I'll take him for like a third. That's the problem.
Right, exactly.
All right, so I'm guessing we all feel the same on this one. So I'm just excited that there was a couple of trades in TA1. All of three was you. Okay, here. Oh God. TA4. This was not. Was it this? When this was this done?
I think Thursday or Friday. So this was before before we knew about the news, but I'm not positive.
So, because this trade is Cam Akers for Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I think this was before the foot injury.
That's crazy. it was Friday. And when did we learn about?
Was that Friday? I think it might have been Friday. So it might depend on what time it was.
Okay,
Friday.
So this was 6 p.m. So I think they did.
Okay, so maybe they did know about
Yeah. I mean, that to me is easily Carson Wentz, like not even really even having to think about it. Let me get the quarterback that is coming back this year as opposed to a running back who just the best we've seen out of someone coming back from Achilles are these really good workout videos of Marlon Mack.
Marlon Mack, yeah.
It's funny. I feel bad, and I was listening. I'm so far behind in podcast. The Dynasty Dummies, where like you get to this point where when you're saying these, like, oh, this guy sucks, this guy's terrible, and you have to step and be like, not the person. I'm sure he's a great guy, but I feel like we talk so especially on this show, we talk so negatively about Cam Akers, but like, I'm sure he's a good dude. That's not what we mean. I promise.
Yes, he's a fine like, young gentleman. Don't,
yes, like I hope as a human being, he comes back from this and is every bit of the athlete he was. We just have no history to show that that's actually going to happen. Carson Wentz has a broken bone in his foot. It's probably going to take him a long time to get to top athleticism, if you can call whatever Carson Wentz had athleticism.
I was about to say, did he ever have athleticism?
He ran a little bit at the beginning, but like, you don't, even if you consider the small amount of running Carson Wentz did in the past, you don't need the agility that Cam Akers does. Not to say the two. Well, yeah, Achilles is much worse on agility than a broken bone in your foot, you know, so it's going to be a much easier task and a much more likely event that Carson Wentz comes back to what he was than Cam Akers comes back to what he was. So, yeah, this is and it's super flex. So give me the quarterback pretty easily.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, we just said basically when talking about Wentz, we'd want a first plus to move him, and I'm not giving up a first plus for Akers. So
I honestly still haven't seen a first for Akers.
I've heard of a first. I haven't seen it in any of my actual leagues. Oh, I've heard like people say they've
mythical
traded
Twitter trades.
Yeah. They've traded Akers for a first, but I haven't seen it in any of my leagues either. I haven't really seen him move in most of my leagues.
Yeah, I'm holding on to Akers. Like, I'm not trading him. It's not worth it for what you're going to get for him versus, you know, if he is the miracle story and comes back, it's just not worth it to me. I'd rather just take the chance of holding on to him. That being said, if I could get Carson Wentz for him in a super flex, I would do that 100 times out of 100. No question. When, you know, let's be honest. Like you said, we want the best for Cam Akers, but his career legit could be over. Like, mm-hmm. It could be. So Carson Wentz is going to be fine. He's going to play. No question, Carson Wentz. I mean, you guys said it all.
Yeah. In the DFPN Network League, I have Cam Akers. And Joe, the wonderfully mentioned a couple of times, has both Rager and Devonta Smith on his team. And he's like, I don't want both of them. Someone come and trade one of them. So I send Akers for Devonta Smith, which got rejected very, very quickly. I forgot what happened next. I think he may have just right away sent back Akers for Jalen Rager. And I'm like, come on, bro. Like, and then he really would not budge off of that. And I'm just like, okay, never mind. We're not going to do this now because I'm not ready to say that of Cam Akers, but yeah, maybe. That sucks. Okay. We have one more trade before we get into Rocky's challenge. TA5, Michael Thomas for Rondale Moore and a 22 third. So this is pretty much saying Michael Thomas for an early second and a future third. Ugh. He was the wide receiver once, not very long ago.
Like a year ago.
Yeah, literally. Rocky, how do you feel about Michael Thomas for Rondale Moore and a third?
I would not do this trade. I would say I would not trade Thomas for that. My stance on Thomas is I am holding until in season. I do have my fair share of Thomas, and I'm holding till in season till he's scoring points. You're not going to get what you deserve for him. You're probably not going to get what you deserve for him, even if he comes back and starts playing well, because he'll be a 29 who's been injured multiple times over the last, or 28-year-old injured multiple times over the last 2 years. So even if he starts scoring points, I'm not sure you're going to get what you should, but you're definitely going to get more than Rondale Moore and a 22 third. So to me, this is the Thomas side, right now with him hurt, and I'd rather just hold on to him and then trade him, and then you'll get more than this.
Jay?
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, if you're moving Michael Thomas, you're moving because you want somebody who's going to be producing right away. Rondale Moore isn't, obviously, the 2022 pick isn't. Moore's buried in the depth chart. They signed A.J. Green. Obviously, they have some guy named DeAndre Hopkins, who is one of my favorite players in the league. I think he's arguably the best wide receiver in the league. this just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I would much rather hang on to Michael Thomas. I'm staying away from Thomas in redraft leagues, but if people are selling it at discount on Dynasty, if I could trade more in a 2022 third for Thomas, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
And you could probably get this deal in October too. I mean, maybe not specifically Rondale Moore if he surprisingly bust out the first two, right. but Elijah Moore or Terrace
Marshall, like someone
who's performing like we expect Rondale Moore to perform, you could get in October when Michael Thomas comes back anyway.
Everybody thinks that their rookie wide receiver is going to be the Justin Jefferson or the Odell Beckham, or you'll find one that doesn't perform right out of the gate, and people are just willing to give away.
Ridiculous, I tell you. Yeah, I'm with you guys. If I'm moving Michael Thomas, which I weirdly don't have any shares of, it's not for this. Okay,
Rocky saw one league. I have Cam Akers, Michael Thomas, and Aaron Rodgers, which thankfully Aaron Rodgers is back. But
you don't have Carson Wentz in that league, do you?
No, I don't. I have him in another league, but I don't have him. I have Patrick Mahomes at least to help with that. But
that makes you feel a little better, yeah. So Rocky did the outhouse challenge in Trade Addicts 1, 3, and 7, and we have some 1 and 3 trades. 7 didn't work out so well.
They just didn't get through.
Yeah, I sent some very, very bad ones. One of them was so close. I did. Okay, Jay, which side would you take? Ronald Jones, Curtis Samuel, and a 22 second for a 22 first?
Ronald Jones, who's and Kurt? Give me the Rojo and Samuel side.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I did. I was willing to take a loss to put Ronald Jones on this man's team, and Twitter did not back me up on it.
Was it a second?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that didn't win, actually. You're adding two
players. There's a lot of Rojo haters, and I still
yeah, and
like
he's
Rojo.
One of
Which
them.
I
am, that's why
he
I
was trying to give him to me. Yeah, because I had to accept the deal if Twitter voted for it.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I know we're a week removed, but let's actually go back to the beginning. The outhouse challenge is, you tell your league that you're doing this. They offer a trade. You put a poll on Twitter. And if the side you are offering this person wins the poll, they have to accept the trade. Of course, people still send garbage that no one would ever vote for their side. Like one of the two I sent him just because I thought they were funny. But, that's really the point, is to try and manipulate groupthink, right? Find the, that's usually, I lost two shares of Juju last time I did this. Like I got Stefon Diggs and I lost Terry McLaurin and Juju Smith-Schuster, and I was freaking heartbroken about it. I love Stefon Diggs, but not at the cost of those two, and it makes me want to cry. Now I have to blow that team up because it just completely ruined the depth of my young wide receivers.
I was right, by the way. It was not a second. Maybe if you had put a second, you would have gotten it through. It was Jack Doyle.
Oh, that was a terrible idea. Yeah. I thought I added a pick to that. And that was an accident. That sucks. damn. All right. Well, actually, we're already far removed from talking about quarterbacks. So let's just start from the beginning. Trade Addicts 1. This one was interesting. This was I saw Jimmy G and almost said Jimmy Graham. That's taken back. Jimmy Garoppolo and Chase Edmonds for Sam Darnold and Jerick McKinnon. Like, I saw this one. I'm like, why don't you just do Chase Edmonds for Sam Darnold and call this a day? But I guess first, before we figure out which side won the poll and which side Rocky ended up getting, Jay, which side would you take? Jimmy G, Chase Edmonds, or Sam Darnold and Jerick McKinnon?
That's funny you said that, because in the notes that I made getting ready for the show, I basically...
Oh, you made notes. That's so cute.
I know. That's just how I am. I have to make my notes. I deleted both the names Jimmy G and Jerick McKinnon because they were basically a wash. They're worthless. Not as people, like you said, in a fantasy aspect. They're both very nice people, I assume. But yeah, for me, in my eyes, it was Sam Darnold for Chase Edmonds. I think it's a pretty fair trade. It just depends on what you need. They're, both Chase Edmonds and Sam Darnold are guys who people have question marks. They're both getting another opportunity. Chase Edmonds as a starter, Sam Darnold getting a new start in Carolina with Joe Brady. I like Darnold. I would probably take the Darnold side just because I'm not sold on Edmonds. I think Connor, if he's able to stay healthy, is going to play more of a role than people expect. So I would slightly lean Sam Darnold, but if this is Rocky, I don't know your situation. If, you know, depending on the team that got Darnold or Edmonds, if, you know, if based on need, this is a perfectly fine trade. If the one side needed a running back and the other side needed a quarterback.
And need don't matter because he didn't even choose it.
But here's what happened. The team that is getting Darnold, which is me, this is that team where I traded Kamara for the two receivers. And this is why, despite some of the nice players I said on that team, why I'm not sure I'm contending. This now leaves me with Jimmy Garoppolo, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Deshaun Watson as my quarterbacks.
Not great.
Not great, Bob. So, that's why I would not have accepted this, but Twitter did. I would still, even taking out my context, I think Edmonds and Darnold are both iffy assets. I would take the quarterback in Superflex. Yeah, even me would take the quarterback. I would pay Chase Edmonds to get Sam Darnold.
Which is really funny because I, in Trade Addicts 5 today, got offered Chase Edmonds for Sam Darnold, and I laughed a little bit. I rejected it for pretty similar reasons. It's just because, well, first of all, I would be left with one quarterback and not good assets to move around enough to feel confident to replace that and blah, blah, because, you know, there's still, you don't need to worry about lineups and everything. But if I'm trading away a starting quarterback without getting one back, I want someone that has more than 1 year upside. And to me, that's all Chase Edmonds is.
Yes.
The end.
Agreed.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
All right. Sometimes you know, it's not rocket science. Sometimes it's just, you know,
it's the danger you get when you play this game. All right, let's do one of my fun ones because it's nice and small first. Antonio Brown for Diami Brown. What do you think, Jay?
It's my first reaction was give me Antonio Brown because I think he's going to have some value this year. I'm going to take the easy way out, ride the fence. It depends on need. You know, obviously, Diami Brown is somebody who long-term has a much longer future in the NFL versus Antonio Brown, even though Antonio Brown is in the Fantasy Football Hall of Fame. You know, who knows about the real Hall of Fame, but we all know what he was for, 4 or 5 years. He still got some competition, although Tom Brady loves him. You got Chris Godwin there. You got Mike Evans there. I still like Rojo, like we were talking, even though Rocky doesn't like him. If I had to pick a side, I'd say Antonio Brown, but it's a lot closer than you would initially think.
And that was what I was hoping for when I sent this trade, because I wanted Diami Brown. Honestly, I just wanted to get something put through, and I knew this would get put through, and I like Diami Brown. So I'm like, why the hell not?
This is the perfect Twitter trade, because as soon as somebody sees Antonio Brown, they're like, oh yeah, give me the Antonio Brown side. When you sit and think about it, it's pretty
and yeah, value wise it's fine, but you know, people are gonna pick Antonio Brown over Diami Brown a lot.
And one aspect I think people don't necessarily think of when they're trying to send these things for the outhouse challenge is, and I thought of this as this trade and another trade we're going to talk about went through, I do this too when I vote on trade polls. I think most people without any context assume competing. Yeah, which is not necessarily always the case, obviously, and is not really the case in TA3. So I did not want to trade Diami Brown for Antonio Brown, regardless of if Antonio Brown has more slight value now or whatever. So good move by you. And it's something I think people should think about. Like I said, I think you're trying to think of players, but if you just start thinking maybe of more win now pieces, that if you don't want necessarily a win now piece like Antonio Brown, you can probably get that more easily through because people are going to vote for assuming competing when they see these polls.
Yep. Woo, woo. That's how you do this challenge. It's mine. I know how to do it. Except for the really bad trades I sent you because they were just funny.
It was one with Kamara, and I was going to have Kamara and Keenan Allen for Deontay Johnson and Teague.
I offered decent players. It just was nowhere near enough value to cover the other side.
And there was someone on top of Kamara and Keenan Allen, and you were offering me Deontay and T. Higgins.
I'm like, maybe people will just see young wide receivers and click that anyway, not realize that I'm getting two extra players worth of value. It's fine. It's no big deal. Of course, it got, I think it was 95.
And I think someone actually said something like, yeah, I wouldn't trade this just for Kamara or something like that.
Oh, ow. Dude.
Higgins, or, I mean, the opposite. I wouldn't trade. Yeah.
that hurts. Yeah, no, it was. I didn't think that was going to go. Again, it was just fun. I'm a little surprised he actually put up the poll. Let's do another small one. Well, small only because there's one player on each side. Matt Stafford for Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go first. This is closer than I feel like it should be, but I want Matt Stafford, I think. Like, the only... If this were last year and he was on the Lions, I think I'd just say Aaron Rodgers, regardless of what's going on with Rodgers right now, whether he goes to another team, whether he retires, knowing I can get the 1 year of really good Aaron Rodgers versus the always underrated Matt Stafford. But now you're paying the same price, so I might as well get the dude that I know is going to score more points. Now on the Rams, you're buying like 6 years of a... I mean, who knows with Matt Stafford because he had the back injury and stuff like that. But like, to me, like, this is a shot in the dark, whatever. It doesn't matter. So I'm going to take the dude on what should be a more exciting offense, whether it's better or not. Who the hell knows at this point? Give me the younger. Give me the guy with more options to throw the ball to. I don't feel good about it, but I think my answer is Matt Stafford. Jay.
Ditto.
Cool.
You literally stick everything I would have said. So that's
and right, yeah, how'd it go for you, Rock?
The not great, Bob.
Man, you had a bad challenge.
Yeah, none of these were ones I think. There's four that we put on the sheet. There was actually, I think, a couple inconsequential ones we didn't.
Oh, yeah, really small
that I didn't really care about one way or the other. But none of these four that we put on here really went the way that I weren't trades that I would have wanted to do. And it's funny too, because I did this with 1, 3, and 7 because I mentioned 1 and 7. I'm not sure which way to go with this, my teams. And I was hoping maybe just by whatever they forced me to do, maybe I'd have a direction. I'd go old and compete or go younger and maybe retool or rebuild. And there was like one combined trade done in those two leagues and a whole bunch in TA3 where I only did it there just because I wasn't competing. So I figured what the hell. And then I got a bunch of old guys mostly. I was afraid to do it in the 2, 8, and 9. I feel pretty strong about my team. So I didn't want to risk Twitter giving me quote unquote value over points. So, I would have rather had Matt Stafford again. I'm not going to say rebuild because I haven't totally blown it up and sold everybody for picks and all that. But I do have some young players. And Stafford's not a young guy, but I'd rather have the guy that's 6 years younger. I'll probably try and see if anybody wants Rodgers in TA3. I've sent a couple offers out already. He probably does maybe have slightly more trade value, but I definitely can see a world where Stafford outscores him this year. I mean, I think he's going to regress. He's not going to score 40, throw 48 touchdowns again. And Stafford, I think, will be better than he was with the Lions. So I think that, like you guys said, these are a lot closer than people might think.
I will never bet against Aaron Rodgers having touchdown efficiency at this point. You know, so that's one thing I won't really argue. You know, but yeah,
that's true. But last year was, I think, literally insane, the second highest touchdown percentage of all time. I think it was like 9 point something. He's not doing that again this year.
Yeah, he's got that. No.
Okay.
All right. The last one we got is, okay, hold on. Darrell Henderson, Russell Gage, and Deebo Samuel for James Robinson, Leonard Fournette, and Cortland Sutton. I remember seeing this and I picked the Sutton side because that is honestly the only player I want out of all of this.
Yeah, and this was a close one too. It was like 53-47 or something like that. I'll let Jay comment on it
Yeah, Rocky and I have gone back and forth a few times. I'm completely out on James Robinson. Trade is fine. It's pretty even. James Robinson and Henderson, I would rather have Henderson between the two, but their value is right around the same. Give me Gage for over Fournette. And then I really still like Deebo, even though a lot of people are out on him. You know, obviously the injury history is a concern, but Sutton's probably slightly better than Samuel value-wise. So it's really just a preference. You know, pick a guy that you like, and I'm still pretty high on Deebo Samuel. So I lean that side, but it's fine. It's a solid trade. Pick a guy that you like and pick that side, just like you said, Russ.
So. Yeah, that's exactly what I did. How'd it go for you, Rock?
My thoughts were exactly the same as you, Russ. The one guy I really cared about having on of the six of them on either side was Sutton, and that is not the side that I got. So,
man, I don't know if you should do this again. This did not go well.
But I mean, I don't hate this one. I mean, I'm not a big Debo guy, but smarter than people than me, some are. So it gives me, I think I have one other share of Debo across like 32 leagues. So gives me another one. Maybe I'll hold on to him and see how he does. And
I'm not necessarily a Debo guy, but I'm a Debo where he's going right now guy. You know, I think he's
part of good offense.
Right, exactly.
And I don't mind getting Fournette off my team. I don't have any particular. I'm not even sure how he got on my team, to be honest.
He just showed up one day.
Yeah, and James Robinson, like you said, I do like him a little bit, but I like him a lot better on a competing team. I think he's going to score better than people think this year. Darrell Henderson, I don't really care about the running backs because, like I said, I don't expect this team to compete for a title. There's some loaded teams in TA3, and I'm not one of them. So, I guess
I might come for Henderson so I can try and be one of those teams.
Yeah, that'd be fine with me. Don't lowball me, Russ.
Oh, I'm absolutely going to. I mean, you know, you said it for a reason. I mean,
Rocky, I saw when you were putting these tweets out, and I knew that, you know, you had to accept it, but I didn't fully understand what the outhouse challenge was. I've got a team that is super flex. It was we drafted right after the season ended because, you know, everybody's bored. Let's do a startup. And I wound up super flex with Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz as my two quarterback. So I might just do the outhouse challenge with that team because I was thinking today, I don't know what I want to do. I've got some solid pieces, but I don't know what I want to do. So I think don't do it
with a good team.
Yeah, that could go very badly. I used to do it for all of my leagues.
Yes, the first
which
time
first of all is effing exhausting.
Scares me, I've got Troy King in there. I've got our buddy Shane, Jeff Lambert. So I've got some people that know the how to play Twitter. That's the only thing that scares me about doing this is they'll know the deals to throw out there and they could, you know, throw out a tweet, say, hey, vote on this side for me. That's the only thing that worries me too. So
in the one league, I did have Watson and a couple people came for him. I was happy to see his value wasn't quite as low as people were thinking when they sent me the offers. Cause I hadn't considered that they might be able to get, because I want to hold him and sell him for, you know, when is I definitely believe he's going to play again. I think there's a decent chance. I think he plays this year at this point.
I think he does. I think he'll play. I think he'll miss games, but I think he plays sometime this season.
Yeah, and I actually traded for him after all this started for the sole purpose of either having a great quarterback that I didn't pay a lot for or selling him for a profit, and I did not want to lose him in this Twitter thing for less than I thought he should, because this is not when I planned to sell him, and luckily Twitter did not vote for any of the other sides of me giving up Watson. So,
whew. Okay, well, that was fun. I love the outhouse challenge. That brings so much chaos.
It does.
I don't know what
and maybe that's what got that. TA1 moving a little bit.
Yeah, I love it. And it's just good because it's the first Trade Addicts League, but it's really funny. It's not like OG TA people. It's really people I had to beg to join a league, yet it's the most retention I've had in any of the leagues. Okay, so we have two questions, but we're just going to do one because I'm falling asleep in my chair, but it's Colts related, so we're going to do it. At @noobengineer_ asks, he traded away Pittman a month ago for 2 seconds. One of them, he'd be shocked if it wasn't the 201. And I'm glad I took the value due to the team's construction. My question is, do you feel I'm foolish for trading too soon? How do each of you feel about receivers in their second year who didn't show out in the age of Jefferson and AJ? I'm guessing AJ Brown. Any horror stories of selling too soon personally? Oh, I'm sorry. Did we just bring that back up again?
I was about to say, this one time I traded Odell Beckham in his rookie year. Yeah, let's rip the scab off one more time.
Okay, so I'll give you my piece on this first. And there's actually a really interesting thread going back and forth between Ray Garvin and Scott Connor on Twitter today that I, you know, made a little flippant joke in the middle, but then they kept replying to mine. So I got to see the second half of the argument as it went along, which was, it wasn't an argument. That's really not at all what it was, but it was a very interesting conversation about when giving up is the wrong word, because trading them away doesn't mean you think they're bad. It's just a question of value. And do you think they'll return that value at some given point? It really depends how bad it looks. Like, I don't think Rager's value should have fallen as far as it did, but since it did, I would not trade him away for what you trade him away for right now. I believe in the player. I love that they got someone who's closer to a real alpha on the other side of him, so he can be the short yardage guy, the trick play guy. I love that for him. I love Pittman with Wentz. I don't know what's going to happen with Eason or whoever they go with, but like, no, man, like getting a, you know, you paid the 203 for Pittman, so getting the 201 and another second, like, you can't feel bad about that. I mean, even if Pittman comes out and what, is he going to be a top 12 wide receiver? Probably not. So let's say he puts up wide receiver 25 numbers. You can still probably get him for the 201 in the mid second. So don't feel bad about trading him away. It's very like a good player is more likely to break out in year two if they didn't break out in year one. But still, if you either something weird happens in your team's construction or something like this, where a guy's situation gets real weird real fast and you feel like you want to get out, then get out, man. It's supposed to be fun. You know, if you whiff on a trade, you feel bad about it for a while, but you get over it. You make another trade to make yourself feel better about it.
Sometimes you don't get over it, Odell Beckham.
It took you a year, but you've got a little less spiteful about it. I can tell in your voice that there's just a little bit of spite. Yeah, it's not palpable the way I feel like it was that first year.
Yeah. Or second year or third year. It's taken me about, 5 years probably to get over it.
But you got over it. That's what's important.
Yeah, and I have forgiven Matthew Berry, even though it wasn't
his
fault. There you
go. See, you're making strides. Now, just like, look, that therapy's finally paying off. I guess what I'm... don't feel foolish. I mean, did you trade too soon? No, because we haven't seen him do anything yet. You know, so... I think it's more foolish to sell a guy cheaply. Like, again, you got back what you paid for him, so it's not cheap in the first place. But if you sell a guy low, like right now, if you sold Jalen Reagor for like a late second and then Reagor goes off, you should feel a little silly about it, because enough has changed on that team where if you believed in Reagor in the first place, there's no reason to not believe in him right now. Like, if you thought Jerry Jeudy had a bad rookie year, you're wrong. And if you sell him cheaper than you paid for him, yeah, you should feel a little foolish. Again, I've done many foolish things, so don't feel bad about it. You know, I've made plenty of bad trades in my life, but again, you just make more trades to make up for it. But if you believe in a guy, you believe in a guy. So you hold on to him. Or if someone just, everybody on your team should be open for trade. Let's just, at least that's the way I feel about it. If you want to be like, no, I'm not trading this guy, more power to you. I think that kind of sucks. But like, if someone comes to me, like right now, I'm all about buying AJ Brown on any team I can. But if someone comes to me and says, here is Tyreek Hill and 2 firsts, here, take AJ Brown. You want someone else? I'll give you someone else. Like, if the value's there, the value's there. If like someone gives you an offer that just makes sense for you to take, take it. Don't feel foolish about it. If Pittman goes off, we'll feel a little bad about it. Yeah, probably. But still, you made the right decision with the information you had in front of you. Lift up that shirt right now. Process over results, baby.
Absolutely.
Mine says Scott Fishbowl, but
well, you know, it works.
So that's my feelings on it. Do you, either of you, have anything specifically to say about Pittman or about the situation in general?
I think you hit the nail on the head. And honestly, if assume 201, but let's just say early second, I would probably have done Pittman just for the one. If you're all but certain it's going to be definitely 201, but I think Pittman for just a high second's a fair value, like you said. Yeah. Probably selling a little low, but throwing that extra second in there, that is perfectly fine. He doesn't have the upside of a Jefferson or AJ Brown. Like you said, Russ, I pretty much agree with everything you said. He's never going to be that, top five guy. So that's what he costs you. You got a little extra. If it makes sense, the most important thing that this person said was it made sense for their team. Mm-hmm. That's the key. If it makes sense for your team, you got solid value. By all means, getting rid of somebody for their value isn't, giving up on somebody. So by all means, I think it's solid.
Yeah. Two things I would say. One is I agree with both of you guys on the specific Pittman deal. I have no problem with that whatsoever. The other thing I would add is it depends on what he means by second years who didn't show out. If you're including Jerry Jeudy in that, you're including T. Higgins just because he didn't have a Justin Jefferson or A.J. Brown like rookie season. Yeah, I'm not moving that, but I'm perfectly fine even at a lesser price. Like, I'm fine moving a Rigger or for an early second. Or a Pittman for 2 seconds here, or certain, especially guys that did not do a lot year one, like, and that's a vague description of, of their performance. But most guys who don't perform don't flash for you. And I qualify Judy and Higgins, especially, obviously Higgins, especially as flashing. That I don't think there's not many cases of them doing much after that. Like N'Keal Harry, you know, has not done anything yet. Corey Davis reached his peak as mid-low wide receiver 2 last year and like year 4 after not showing out early. Laquon Treadwell, the only guy I was trying to think of somebody who did next to nothing year 1 recently. And the only guy I could come up with was DJ Chark, and then he fell off year 3. So I have no problem trading a little bit on the dip for receivers who do very little. But if you're talking about guys like Judy and Higgins, I'm definitely not moving on from them just because they didn't have Justin Jefferson years.
Justin Jefferson years feels like it needs to be some sort of cover band. All right. Well, I mean, that's not the end of our show sheet, but it's going to be the end of our show because I am tired. So, Joe, we're going to save your question until next week. Thank you, Jay, for coming on. I don't care if you had a good time because I did. And this is my show, so that's all that matters. Before we get out of here, remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at GMenJay. I'm a part of the team over at Front Yard Fantasy. You can follow us at Front Yard FYF. Give us a follow on YouTube. I will be doing some video content very soon for them, and I'm also got some articles coming out for Roto Underworld as well.
Very cool. Again, thank you for coming on. Our stuff. What's our stuff? Patreon.com/TradeAddicts. But why could I never remember that? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can be one of the many people like today that were in the chat with us, giving us some stuff to talk about, helping us out when I couldn't think of what to say. Also, there is the Cool Kids Club, our awesome GroupMe chat. Jump in there with way too many awesome, smart people. We have ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, where you can get t-shirts and mugs and stickers from all of your, most of your favorite podcasts. Any of your podcasts that were too lazy to create their own store, you could find their stuff in ours. And also, we are blessed to have the opportunity to sell some Scott Fishbowl stuff. Not the shirt I'm wearing. This was Roto Wear. You should go buy it. Well, I guess you can't buy this anymore. It's sold out. But every single penny from anything, well, for July and August anyway, everything goes to Fantasy Cares. But every penny that comes in to FF Pod Shirts goes to charity. With everything that is Scott Fishbowl, we'll go directly to Fantasy Cares. Anything any other podcast wise will go to Fantasy Cares to the end of the month. That's when Rocky gets to choose his charity. At Dynasty Outhouse, at Dynasty FF Addict, we are Trade Addicts Pod, DAP Network, DLF, subscribe, rate, review, all of that fun stuff. I am losing my ability to speak coherent sentences. So good night, fellas.
Good night. Not
good night. You're just going to.
Good night, Russ.
Oh, good night.
Jeez.
Guys. I said it. I was muted.
You were.